This Sunday could mark the beginning of the world's newest independent nation. The semi-autonomous region of southern Sudan begins voting this weekend on whether to secede from the country's northern government. It's a decision that follows decades of political unrest, armed conflict, and millions of lives lost in Africa's largest nation. We wanted to get a better understanding of that history and how Sudan arrived at the brink of partition, so we've called on historian and author Martin Daly. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Help us understand the differences between the people of the North and the people of the South. And has there always been this cultural and political and economic divide between them?
Yes, it's age old. The North is almost entirely Muslim, almost entirely Arabic speaking. The South is almost entirely non-Arabic speaking and almost entirely non-Muslim. So there is a general divide between North and South, which was exacerbated during the colonial period when the British tried to impose differences between the regions.
For what purpose?
At the time this was done, starting in about 1930, the idea was that the South was so backward and so different that resources simply couldn't be wasted, as they would have put it then, on trying to develop the region. There was also a sort of backlash against northern Arabic Muslim nationalism, and the idea was that the South should be partitioned off, should be safeguarded against evil outside influences until it could stand on its own. Whatever the motives were for that policy, the result was an even greater divide between the two regions, so that at independence, the South was even more backward in comparison to the North than perhaps it had been when the colonial period began.
And what about the border that now divides the two regions? Is that a natural border? How was this line, this demarcation drawn?
No, it's entirely arbitrary. Some of it seems natural in that it follows certain rivers and natural features, but it's entirely a product of the colonial period and was made rather thoughtlessly. There was never any expectation, of course, that the North and South would separate. So the border is arbitrary and has yet to be delimited, and that's one of the things that would have to be worked out if the vote takes place for secession, which is everyone expects.
The area in the south of Sudan is, if it were to become a newly formed nation, is lacking in infrastructure. Its university system is crumbling. Its financial system is a wreck, despite a wealth of natural resources. What would it take for it to really stand up and grow and prosper as a freestanding nation?
Well, it's hard to think of an example of a state that would have come into being with less going for it than southern Sudan. It will, of course, have some part of the oil revenue or the revenue from the oil that is in the south, but the country is behind in virtually any index of social and economic development that you'd care to choose. So they're really starting from scratch. Now, they will have oil money, but most observers fear, I think it's fair to say, that the period between the Comprehensive Peace Agreement in 2005 and now has not given reason to be optimistic about the evolution of an independent southern Sudanese government. There's been a great deal of corruption. There's been a great deal of nepotism in the transitional regime there now. And the fear is that even with a great deal of oil wealth, the country will need a lot of foreign assistance, not only financially, but in terms of practical advice and help.
Martin Daly, it's been good to talk to you. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Martin Daly is the author of The History of the Sudan.